As Brother Atterbury said, I'm a graduate of the seminary. I started here in 1998 and graduated with my MDiv in 2001. And I didn't actually go to the Philippines as soon as I graduated. I spent a little bit of time continuing pastoring where I was pastoring at Sheridan Terrace Baptist Church in Palestine, Texas. I was there for 4 years before going to the mission field. And honestly, I'm still amazed to this day that that church called me as their pastor. When I went there, in view of a call in 1998, I told them, I said, I'm moving to Texas to get my seminary degree. They said, okay, we don't mind if you go to school. I said, and then after I finish my seminary degree, I'm going to go to the foreign mission field. And they said, well, okay. And I said, I just want you to know this before you call me. I said, this is God's vision for our ministry, and that's where we feel like we need to be. And I believe if God leads you to call me, then He has something for me to learn there. And boy, did He. And it was a blessing to go through that experience at Sheridan Terrace. And I remember my days very fondly here at the seminary. And thank you all professors. All of you professors, I thank you. I cannot speak English anymore. It goes with learning another language. Now I can't speak any language very well. But I do want to thank you for all the time and investment that you put into me. And I pray that God's blessings will be upon our ministries as we continue serving Him. Today, what I would like to do is not so much talk to you about our work. I would love to talk to you about it, but chapel is supposed to be inspiring. And therefore, I'm not going to give you so much of a mission report. If you want to know more about the ministry that God's given to us, that we're a part of, I'll be glad to spend the whole day here to sit down with you and share with you the work that God's doing. But this morning, I wanted to share kind of a window into our world and hopefully give you a better picture of what needs there are in the world today. Most of you, I'm sure, have heard of the 1040 window, right? Please raise your hand and tell me you've heard of the 1040 window. All right. This is an area that extends from West Africa into East Asia, from 10 degrees north latitude up to 40 degrees north latitude. And this area has become the focus of most modern missions in the world today. But this isn't the window into our world that I want to share two. But let me tell you about this one first. Does anyone know how many people are living in the world today? Over 6 billion. Any ideas what the latest estimate is? It's about 6.5, or 6,495,000,000 and change is the estimate that's on the CIA website these days. So out of those 6.5 billion people, how many of those people do you think live inside the 1040 window? Any guesses? You might be surprised to realize, because, you know, it seems like it's getting crowded here more and more and more, right? But there's actually more than a third, more than a half, but in reality, two-thirds of the world's population lives inside this window. Now, how do you determine the quality of your life? Anyone? How do you determine let me put it a little less so you don't have to think spiritually. How do most people determine the quality of their life? By how much money you make. That's always a determining factor. And you see, if you were to consider outside this window, outside the 1040 window, how much money on average a family of four would make, you would discover that on average, it's about $500 a week. Now, in some places in the United States, you might be able to live on that, but it would be difficult. But we're considering worldwide, outside the 1040 window, it's about $500 a week. But what about the situation inside the 1040 window? It's $500 also, but it's $500 a year. $500 a year for a family of four. The quality of life, the financial stresses that these people are facing are unbelievable. Did anyone hear any news this past weekend about the country of the Philippines? It was just a blip on the international news, but I went and I researched it more when I heard about it. But in the city of Manila, which, by the way, the city of Manila has about 25 million people. That's more than the state of Texas. The city of Manila, they were having a game show. It's called Wawa Wee. And it is the most popular thing in the country. And they were going to have a game show at a stadium there. The stadium held 20,000 people. And people started lining up at the gates 2 days before this thing started. And the reason they did is because this game show gives away cash and prizes. Well, the other morning, as the game show was approaching time to start, someone at the back of the mass of people thought the gates opened, but the gates did not. And a few hours later, they discovered 73 people laying dead on the concrete that had been trampled and crushed up against the gates. Can you imagine being so desperate for money that you're willing to trample someone to get into a stadium for a chance to be in a game show? The financial situation in the 1040 window is desperate. But what else? What other way do you determine the quality of your life? Not just with your money, but what else? Your health? What contributes to your health? Or should I just tell you what I consider the determining factor of the quality of my life? Food. Isn't that a determining factor of the quality of your life? How many of you ate breakfast this morning? Okay, those of you who didn't, is the quality of your life diminishing quickly this morning? Ready to go eat lunch, right? Well, if you were to take all of the world's food supply and you were to place it into these 9 barrels that I've got on the screen, how much of the world's food do you think goes to feed 2/3 of the world's population? Y'all are smart, right? You're getting the picture here real quickly. What you would discover is that about 11% of the world's food goes to feed 66% of the world's people. Think about that the next time you go eat Chinese buffet or pizza buffet. I literally have seen a family of 12 people in the Philippines share a single chicken leg with rice. The financial situation in the 1040 window is desperate. The physical situation inside the 1040 window is just as desperate. But, brothers and sisters, that's not the worst problem these folks face. The spiritual blindness that exists inside this window is like no other place on earth. There are places that we have gone into countries that are closed to the gospel, where it is illegal to own God's word, and illegal to pray, and illegal to proselytize or to try to get someone to become a Christian. We've gone in there and we've witnessed to them and we have given them Bibles, and what we discover is they don't know that it's illegal to own a Bible because they don't know what a Bible is. They've never heard of Jesus Christ. One of our church planters in one of these closed nations went up to someone who they had developed a friendship with. You can't just go up to anyone there. And they finally asked them the question, "Do you know Jesus? The response was this: he not popular here. Who is he? You would think with the financial, the physical, and the spiritual problems that the countries in this window are facing, you would think that missionaries of the world today would be flocking to this window. But the fact of the matter is that out of every 10 missionaries going to the field today, only 2 out of 10 are going to countries inside the 1040 window. 20% of missionaries going to the field today are going to 2/3 of the world's population. That means 80% are going to the other places. Do you see the need for reaching out into this porthole? How much more do we need to do? Let me share another window into my world, and we call this window the 50-50 porthole. We call it a 50-50 porthole because it is round. But why do we call it the 50-50? You know, a porthole is round. But why do we call it 50-50? Any ideas? Because half of the world lives inside the window and half lives outside. Half of the world's population. Let me tell you a little bit about this window. As I said, more than half, well, I said half, but actually, I just checked in the latest figures, 55% of the world lives inside this window now. All of the Buddhist countries of the world, there are 11, all of them are inside this porthole. 99% of all Hindus in the world today live inside this porthole. The largest Muslim country in the world is not in the Middle East. It's the country of Indonesia, which is inside this porthole. And by the way, Indonesia has almost as many Muslims as the United States has people. If you were to walk around outside this porthole and you were to ask the question, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Outside this window, what they have discovered is that 58% of the world profess to know and believe in Jesus Christ. But if you ask that same question inside the porthole, what you discover is that only 9% of people say that they believe in Jesus. 9% of over 3.5 billion people. That's almost half the world inside this window. Inside an area that's about an 8-hour airplane ride to any point in this window from my house. Well, I'm a member of a team of missionaries that are sponsored by the BMA of America that are working in the Philippines, and it is our vision to reach this porthole for Christ. Can you see the need a little more clearly now through this porthole? Today I just want to share with you just some verses from my heart, things that I have lived with for years. You all know the 5 accounts of when Christ commissioned the church. Who did he give the commission to? I just said the church, but who is the church? The people are the church. Jesus Christ gave a commission to the people to go and preach the gospel to every creature. Or he said, go into all the world. Or he said, be a witness of me unto the uttermost parts of the world. However he said it, we all have a commission to go. How can you know for sure if God is calling you to be a missionary? Now, I am making an assumption here, and that is that you're in seminary because you're seeking God's will for your life. Is that true? How can you know for sure if God is calling you to service in another country? That's the question I have for you today. And I'm going to share with you just for a moment my struggle, if you will, to discover whether God's will was for me to go to another country or not. You see, when I was a junior in high school back in 1990, see, I'm really not that old. When I was a junior in high school, I surrendered my life to the ministry of the gospel. And at that point in time, when I surrendered my life to Him, I didn't really know what that would entail. I didn't know what I would be doing as a minister of the gospel. But God enabled me to go and preach in many churches here, there, and everywhere where I grew up in northwest Arkansas. And then God allowed me to serve as a youth minister. That only took 9 months to get that out of my system. Praise the Lord. Then I served as a music minister, as a children's pastor, which, by the way, was the best time of my life. Also as a Christian school teacher and basketball coach. That was a whole lot of fun, too. And then God moved me to the seminary here and allowed me to be a pastor. You see, I believe a call to the ministry is a call not exclusively to pastor, but a call to be a minister of the gospel. And in every single one of those ways I just mentioned, I was serving as a minister of the gospel. As far as a special call to go to the Philippines or to go to Asia Pacific to work, I believe that God has given each of us a special call when He said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye into all the world. Be a witness unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You see, it wasn't that difficult for me because I don't see a call to missions as anything special. It's just a change of address. It's still the same ministry. I still lead people to Christ. I still disciple them and train them to become leaders. We worship together. We serve together. It's the same thing that you do here. It's just in a different culture, in a different land. What do you think about that? It's a little off the wall, maybe. I don't know. But I'm not the first one that's ever said it. Anyone ever heard of a man named J. Hudson Taylor? For those of you who have not heard of Hudson Taylor, he started the China Inland Mission about 150 years ago. And Hudson Taylor, well, he was revolutionary in his mission work back then. And they spread out throughout China, but when the communists came in, they kicked all of the missionaries with China Inland Mission out of the country. And that's when the organization started reaching into other parts of Asia. Now this organization is known as Overseas Missionary Fellowship. And they're doing some of the best work that's being done in Asia. I can say that even though I'm a BMA missionary. It's okay. We're learning from them. And that's a blessing. But here's what Hudson Taylor said about 150 years ago whenever he had the opportunity to share with someone about whether or not they should go to China. Hudson Taylor said, "It will not do to say that you have no special call to go to China. With these facts before you and with the command of the Lord Jesus to go and preach the gospel to every creature, you need rather to ascertain if you have a special call to stay at home." What is your calling? What is your calling? The Lord Jesus Christ commanded us to go to all the world. What is your calling? Have you determined that, yes, I'm supposed to stay in Texas? You know what? I told people all the time, God called me to be a foreign missionary, so I came and pastored a church in Texas. That gets a whole lot more laughs in Arkansas. But what is your calling? You've got to prepare yourself for the ministry that God's called you to, but where are you going from here? What does God have on your horizon? Are you going to minister to the 300 million people that are living in the United States? Or are you going to minister to the 3.5 billion people living in the Asia-Pacific 50-50 porthole? Who needs the gospel? Yes, we need it here. I can't tell you we don't. But you know what? When I pastored a church in Palestine, Texas, Anderson County, Texas, has about 30 to 35,000 people in it. And in Anderson County, Texas, there are 81 evangelical churches. 41 of them are Baptist. By the way, that was 6 years ago. They may have started some more since then. 81 churches for 35,000 people. The city that I moved to in the Philippines, when I moved there, it had 8 evangelical churches for 160,000 people just in that city. And by the way, that's a small city in Asia. We're not even... We get one airplane flight a day to one location because we're so small. What is your calling? Since I'm standing in the pulpit and I'm sharing God's Word with you, I figure I need to open my Bible and at least read one verse. If I didn't, I might get in trouble from my professors. I have it memorized, but I'll read it just for you. This is what Jesus said in summary about what we should do. Matthew 24 and verse 14, he says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then the end shall come." You know, we sing songs about looking forward to going to heaven. And we sing, "What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon His face, the One who saved me by His grace, when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. How glorious will it be for those 3 billion people who have never heard? Will we get to experience that day before they hear?" Jesus tells us plainly. I mean, my eschatology is not all that my seminary professor wants it to be. But Jesus tells us plainly, we've got to be a witness in all the world, share the gospel in all nations. Revelation tells us that there will be people from every nation, every tongue, and every tribe worshiping God around His throne in glory. We've got to be about the business of reaching those people before Jesus will ever come back. The silence gives away your guilt, and mine too. Oh, how we need to be more involved in God's worldwide mission. Will you join our team? You don't even know what I do, but that's all right. Would you join our team by praying for us? I would love to tell you stories about how God has opened up the gospel into Asian nations all over that 50-50 porthole. I had a vision, that the God-given vision I believe He gave to me before going to the Philippines was that we use the Philippines as a launch pad for the gospel throughout Asia, Pacific, and beyond. And it was my vision that we would put one Filipino church planter into another country in the next 5 years. That was 4 years ago. And folks, now we're working in 9 different countries with multiple church planters in every single country. Isn't it great when God does more than you can even imagine to ask or think about? It's not because of me. It's not because of my partners, missionaries Doyle Moore, Don Newsom, Darlene Carey, and Robert Murphy. It's not about them either. It's about the work that's being done in prayer. Raising up these young men and women to go into foreign cultures. God's opening doors. And He's opening doors in such a way that they can only be explained by prayer. If you want to hear about it, I'll tell you later. But will you join us by praying for us? The other way you can let me tell you this. You can sign up today. Give me your card. Write your name, address, email on a piece of paper. Hand it to me. I'll get you signed up. Or you can email me, or you can go online at filipinomissions.org. Any of those ways you can sign up to be a prayer partner. But the other way you can be a partner and join our team is by partnering with us. In other words, coming over and joining us for a short-term project. I have never met a person who went on a mission trip who did not say, "It changed my life." I went to Mexico my freshman year in college. From that point forward, I felt that God was calling me to be a missionary. To confirm that call, I spent 10 weeks in Asia, and God confirmed it and said, "This is where I want you to be." I had the privilege of taking a team from my church at Sheridan Terrace Baptist in Palestine down to Mexico on a short-term trip. Then I had the opportunity not long after that to go with a seminary team. And we took our church van, and after those 2 trips to Mexico, we had to put 4 new tires on the bus. Please don't tell my church about that. They didn't realize why they wore out so quick. But folks, there's nothing in the world that will change your life more than a mission trip. I cannot explain it. But when you get your horizons broadened beyond your life and your world, God does some amazing things in you and through you. If you'll give Him that chance, partner together with us and join us in Asia or wherever God's leading you to go. How many of you felt pity for these people that I talked about earlier? So, those poor, pitiful folks only make $500 a year and don't have enough food to keep them fed and healthy. Oh, those poor, poor people. Folks, they don't need your pity. They need your God. They need your God. Will you show them? Will you tell them? If you want to serve God, now this is a bold statement, but I'm just going to leave it out there. If you want to serve God in your life, serve Asia. Serve Asia. Asia needs you. Thank you for this time. Please pray for us as we endeavor to reach the nation of the Philippines in order to touch the world around us. God bless.